Welcome to Negotiating Happiness, the show that helps you find happiness, success, and balance in your work and life. I'm Adriana Fierstro, your host for this journey into entrepreneurship and personal growth. We're broadcasting live on 107.7 and 105.3 FM in New Orleans as part of the United Public Radio Network. We explore the latest strategies, insights, and stories from successful entrepreneurs and experts. From managing stress to building a thriving business, we've got you covered. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Adriana Fierstro, and I'm your host here at Negotiating Happiness. It is February. Wow, I almost said February. March. March 4th, 2024. I can't believe we're already in March, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. And if you wanted to check out some of our shows, we are also on Roku TV. You just have to type in UFO Paranormal in the channel. Hello, hello, everybody. Grab your coffee, grab your lunches. We're gearing up for another great show here with another great guest. Say hello, everybody, to Shannon. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm happy it's March, not February.
Yes, I know. It's like January took, you know, a year to finish. Then February took kind of 8 months to finish. We're getting there, but I can't believe it's already March. We're almost done quarter one of 2024, and that is mind-boggling for me. So yeah, here we are though, you know, another week, another episode. So let's do some quick intros here. So this week, as you've all met Shannon, she is a photographer, graphic designer, an educator who helps other heart-centered entrepreneurs create brands that reflect the real them, or the real you, if you feel like this is talking to you directly. She's all about helping you align with your brand, heart, and visual identity so you can be seen for who you are and call in your dream clients. I mean, who doesn't want to have to work with dream clients every day, right? That is what we all, that is what we all work for here. So we also have a sneak peek here from Shannon, and I just wanted to put this out at the beginning of the show. She will be also launching a template shop later this spring with mini brand kits, Dipsado templates, Canva templates, and much more to help heart-centered entrepreneurs boost their confidence through beautiful visual branding that connects with their dream clients. To be the first to know when it's live and get a welcome discount, you can subscribe at heyshannonk.com/happiness, and I will be posting this in the comments, everybody. Please check her out. I will also put it on the screen here so that you can see what the website name is. She also has an upcoming group program that will dive in way deeper into what we're talking about today, which is your brand, you yourself, how to be authentic. And it's called Brand Breakthroughs, and it will run 6 weeks starting April 1st. And it'll include Shannon's signature Brand Clarity Workbook, weekly private podcast drops, so you can listen anytime, anywhere, and 2 60-minute implementation group calls to work through your questions and challenges. And it is $333, and podcast listeners can get $100 off of Brand Breakthrough Bootcamp when you subscribe at heyshannonk.com/happiness. That is awesome. That is like 30% savings there. And she'll also have pop-up live workshops throughout the year, so that's the best way to get first dibs on those. So please make sure to tune into Shannon's website to be in the know of when all of that will be dropping. So we did a really quick introduction here, Shannon. Sorry to overwhelm you with all of the words. Thank you so much for coming on today. I'm super excited to dive into some of the topics that we discussed with you. And I'm excited to hear what you want to teach us and, in your expert opinion, what we are doing wrong and what we're not doing at all, or maybe what we're doing great. I don't know. So, let's talk about the first thing, which I think is really interesting. I only got to hear about the Enneagram types, a little while ago in my entrepreneurship journey. So I'm sure this isn't super common, so I'd love to hear what you have to say about it and how that has helped you embrace, you know, your personality.
Yeah. So for me, I started my business as a freelancer in the mid-2000s. I had just finished graduate school and just really wasn't feeling fulfilled in my full-time position. So I started this side hustle on the evenings and weekends outside of my full-time job. And so I was writing, I was doing graphic design, I was doing photography. I did some event planning. I basically said yes to anything that came my way, which I've learned as time goes by that that's not always the best strategy. And what I really found was, as a graphic designer, I really got caught up in crafting like the perfect visuals, but I didn't spend a lot of time establishing my actual like brand part. So spending time thinking about what my values were, what my vision was for the future of my business and for my clients, establishing like that emotional connection with my audience, I just didn't make the time for it. And instead, I just put my head down, I did the work that paid the bills, I had a full client roster, and I never had enough time. So I just didn't prioritize my own brand at all. Right. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs can identify with that. It really means that you just don't show up online at all. Or if you do, it's very sporadic. And, you know, I think we all know deep down inside that that's not the strategy. Like, we want to be seen, and we want to be seen for who we really are. But I was not taking steps to build the confidence in my own brand or in my own, myself, really. And so I just didn't have the confidence to embody my brand because I didn't know who I was or what my brand was. I just knew I was the go-to gal for everybody's photography and graphic design needs. And in that time, I was just really responsive to, you know, clients' needs and never proactively building the business that I dreamed of when I left full-time employment. So right. Yeah, that was really how I got started. And then I found the Enneagram, and that changed a lot for me.
That's really great. I think I can also resonate with what you're saying regarding the brand, because let's face it, realistically, like, the bills aren't waiting around. So you just have to do what you have to do to pay your bills. But it's funny how all of these different types of personalities that do, you know, veer into the entrepreneurship lane a lot, still find a way to kind of get out of that. But we, at one point or another, we've all been there. We've all been in the trenches where it seems like this is just kind of a side hustle. Like, it's not our full-time gig. It's a side hustle, right? So, so what happened next? How did that change for you?
So a couple of things happened. One around, well, so I became a mom in 2016. And that really changed a lot of my perspective on business and what I wanted out of this. You know, it had been very alluring over the years to entertain going back to working for somebody else. I mean, I interviewed for many jobs over the years thinking like, oh, it would just be so much easier to have that security working for someone else. And then having kids, it was like, you know what, this is the best possible scenario. Like, I get to design my dream career, and I really want that for my life and for my family. And it kind of aligned well, because shortly before that, in 2014, 2015, I remember being at a work conference and sitting by the pool with a friend who asked me, what's your Enneagram type? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know what that is. But I've always been one that's like obsessed with all things personality. And I love reading psychology type books and just tapping into the power of how we think about things. And so I really started digging into the Enneagram after that and figured out that it was a tool that really could help me name some of the feelings that I couldn't name before. So seeing what motivated me and what scared me, all of that just hit so hard. And then I really felt like knowing myself, like truly knowing myself, helped me start showing up more authentically in my business. It's been kind of a slow burn, building up that confidence to just be out there and be seen. It doesn't feel like second nature for me. I'm an elder millennial, so I don't really have. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it's like, I don't have that same level of comfort on camera and like broadcasting everything I do that some of the younger ones do. And I'm working on that. And I feel like the Enneagram has helped me find some ways that I could both get the word out about my business and do it in an aligned way that felt good. And the more that I've learned about the Enneagram and personality in general, the more I realize how it can be applied to branding in so many more ways. So that's kind of how I got to this point here.
Okay. And what would be, I guess, what would be the first step that you would recommend for somebody to take if they're interested in figuring out what their personality type is?
So I would say, you know, there's a lot of value in knowing yourself as an entrepreneur and using that to craft your brand. And if the Enneagram is your jam, if that resonates with you, absolutely, you know, go find your personality and look at your core motivations and look at your fears. Maybe the Enneagram is not for you. Maybe you want to look at, you know, Myers-Briggs or like the Clifton Strengths Finder or Human Design or DISC or something like that. There's so many different typing systems, but I think anything that you can do that really helps you dig down deep into what it is that you want out of being an entrepreneur and get better in touch with your purpose and your passion and your values is going to help you find a lot of different creative ways to get that connection made with your audience. So once you know what those are, those values are, then you can really start to incorporate that into your brand. So I think it's really crucial to know yourself when you're crafting your brand, because so many of us, when we start out in entrepreneurship, it's either an afterthought, or if you're like me, you spend way too much time thinking about the visual side of it that you don't actually get anything else done because you feel like you need to perfect it. So, you know, it's just hard because it can be a distraction or it can be, you know, just a drain on whatever else you're trying to get done. So I think you have to really look deeper inside and get a better understanding before you start doing the outer work.
And the other thing too that I find with personal brands is that, I'm just giving myself an example. I came from a very corporate world. So when you're in corporate, you don't have a personality. Mm-hmm. You just know how to do the job. And you know how to do the job well. And that's kind of what made you, let's say, go off on your own. It was very hard for me to put all of that jargon and lingo and an attitude away in order for me to connect with people and for me to understand that they will accept me the way I am. Once I realized that people buy from you, they don't necessarily buy from, you know, how professional you are, how that's a corporate world kind of thing. That's not an entrepreneur thing. Now, that's not to say that if, you know, if my assistant emails somebody and they start talking to them in a ridiculous way, of course I don't want that, but I'm also okay with not having perfectly crafted emails and perfectly, you know, professional, you know, three-piece suit situation type photos on our website. It's so hard to walk away from that when that's how you've learned to work or how, where you learned your actual craft, like whatever it is that you do, right? And you having the benefit of being in a creative industry, I'm sure brings this whole branding thing much more authenticity, or it brings it with ease, right? To you. So this is why it's so important for people to seek out the right professionals to help them with this kind of thing. And what would you say about, I know you mentioned a little bit about, you know, we're so stuck on the visuals that we forget about everything else. If this was somebody that was just starting out, what kind of advice would you give them in terms of branding?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. And first, I do want to hit on the corporate connection there. Like, that is so accurate because I had such a hard time disconnecting from being an employee of someone else and maintaining their brand, and knowing that I needed to present everything in a certain way, that when it came to creating my own, I for a long time tried to approach it from the same, like it's almost like a different playing field entirely, you know, like a personal brand versus, you know, a corporate brand. It's just, there's similarities, but there's so many differences. And so I think it's really easy to get overwhelmed if you're just starting out and you're like, where do I even start? Because it is overwhelming, especially if you're not a graphic designer or you're not a photographer, you don't have like the visual training to really go after that. And some people do have like that artistry that they just like to do things themselves, which is fantastic. If you have that skill, like more power to you. And the danger with that then too is that you really kind of find yourself taking on a lot of extra work that maybe your time would be better served doing something else, right? And so it's really hard to disconnect from that. It's so hard to just figure out where you even begin. So I say all that to kind of encourage beginners or people who are wanting to revamp their brands to take some serious time and look at the foundations. So I like to think about it like a house, like building a house. You could build a shelter that, you know, with some wood and some pieces of tin, and you could kind of cobble that together and it would be perfectly fine, right? Or you could build a beautiful home that starts out with a blueprint and a strong foundation and solid wood and quality materials. And not only do you see a huge difference visually, but also when you walk into that house, you have an entirely different like experience. Like you can tell that there was purpose and passion and there were values that were involved in building that house. So that's kind of the same approach as building your brand. So I actually have like a brand clarity workbook. We mentioned that's one of the pieces that's included in the group program. I do have that also for sale if you're, you know, not into the whole program, but you want to get that head start. And so what it does, it walks you through several pages of journal prompts and exercises to really kind of get a better idea of like why you do what you do, who you're doing it for, how you're different, what difference you're making in the world. And, you know, that seems so simple, but it asks a lot of questions in ways that help get those juices flowing that you might not have thought about in the past.
It's very true. I had a similar opportunity with the workbook when I first started. Well, not right as I first started out, but a little bit after. And just having those questions in made me think about things that, and they were very obvious questions, but giving yourself the time and space to think about those questions, you know, your brain will come up with so many different thoughts that you're kind of shocked. And you say, you know, I never thought about it that way. And maybe, do I want to be seen this way? Is this something that's more of a, you know, fear rather than a truth? Or it's so important to have those kinds of exercises available as you're trying to not only come up with the brand, but also when you're revamping your brand or when you're, you know, doing audits on, okay, but my business has grown. Odds are you've grown too. And this is why people rebrand all the time. You know, is it expensive or is it, of course, like you're going to have to, you know, invest in your development in order to see the results that you want to see, because it doesn't make sense for you to keep attracting the same people you were attracting at the beginning, because odds are they're not going to be able to afford you at the level that you are now with the extra expertise and resources and staff and whatever else. So it doesn't make any sense not to do the legwork, right? Because then your conversion rate from when you're actually talking to people to when you're actually selling is going to drop because you're attracting the wrong type of people.
Absolutely.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah. And that's so true. And I have experienced that in my own business where, you know, when I started out, my hourly rate was half of what I charge now.
Yep.
And, you know, with time, it's hard to keep raising your rates, and I'm kind of due for another rate increase, but I feel like your visuals can also help you in that regard where, you know, it kind of helps with your mindset. It helps you build that confidence and, you know, show, hey, I'm the real deal. And it just kind of you know, for me, it's kind of that like backing up my case of like, I'm worth this. This is the image I'm projecting. This is what I stand for. These are my values. This is the direction that I'm going. And it helps me feel more confident when it's time to raise my rates. That's not an easy task.
No. And, you know, to some people that are not, you know, in the entrepreneurship area, they might think that, oh, of course, that's the first thing you're going to do. Or, yeah, of course, things are getting more expensive. Or I feel like they have this sort of resentment. Not all of them, but a lot of them have this resentment towards entrepreneurs wanting to be compensated for all of the value that they bring. But like you said, it is actually a very hard thing for us to do because mm-hmm. we deal with things like imposter syndrome all the time. And even though we've done the work, we've put, if people only knew how much I've invested in my business, they probably wouldn't have half of those thoughts because mm-hmm. they realize it's also expensive for us too. However, we appreciate it when people approach us with questions, like legitimate questions or legitimate concerns or legitimate feedback, right? As an entrepreneur, you want to hear those things. And you'll find that half the time, they're just very simple answers. And you're like, yeah, I don't know why I was afraid. Like, I should have raised my prices because mm-hmm. I already have all the answers and the whys and the, you know, I've gone through this. I can help people avoid this. Or it's so hard to be on like either end of it, right? And it's so hard to attract those people if you aren't present. Mm-hmm. So this is exactly, it goes to your point of, are you sure that your brand is attracting the people that will be able to mm-hmm. pay the prices that, or the fees or whatever it is that, you know, that you are asking for your value. It's all right. About a time exchange, right? And once people realize that time is your most valuable asset, they will stop with these assumptions about, mm-hmm. you know, rate increases and all that, because they understand it's, you can't get it back regardless of right. what you do. You can't get it back. And once they understand also, they appreciate these kinds of interactions, right?
So right.
it's, you know, you've taken an hour of your time to come on my show. I am so grateful. But seriously, that's what it is. It's like, I'm so grateful. You're never going to be able to get that time mm-hmm. back. And it works the same way with yeah. clients and whatnot.
Well, right? And I think that's such an interesting point, because as you're talking through this, I'm thinking too about, like, it goes back to the Enneagram. And so I'm a 9, which is the, you know, mediator, you know, the peaceful, like, kind of just wants everybody to be happy and everybody just get yeah. along, right? And I just,
yeah.
I find that bringing up so many, I mean, it's a strength in some ways, and then in other ways, it's not. And so one of the things that I've learned with the Enneagram is, you know, one of the fears I have as that peacekeeper is rejection. And so right. knowing when I raise my prices, or if I post something on Instagram, or, you know, anything that kind of puts you in a position where you're sticking your neck out, that's scary, right? And you're just hoping that everything comes out in a way that's positive. But I think there's also the sense of, you know, just, I don't know, like wanting to make a big difference, and wanting to help people, and knowing that you have that value and you have that expertise that you really can help a lot of people. And if you're not charging enough, you know, are you working with the wrong people? You know, are you working yeah. with people that are kind of keeping you playing small when you could be helping someone else? It's really hard to kind of process everything. But it's an important part of the process. And I think that's been a valuable thing for me, is just really getting to know myself and what I stand for and what some of my boundaries are, especially after having children. And, you know, it's like, okay, I used to pull a lot of all-nighters, and I'm not going to say I don't occasionally do that still. I do if I have to, but I really draw the line. You know, I think I need things to shut down at a certain time. And if I'm going to raise my price or position my business in a certain way that alienates someone, I'm learning to be okay with that and possibly losing a client, and knowing that they're not the right fit for me. They're not aligned with where I want to go in the future.
Right. And I understand that maybe somebody that is at the very beginning stages hearing this might not agree with this because, you know, you have that, you know, fight or flight instinct and you just want to, you know, hustle through it and make it work. But this will come. Right. I was there and people were telling me the same thing. This will come. You will get to the point where you can choose who you work with. And it is a blessing. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Yeah. It is a blessing. I'm not going to say I have this really bad habit of minimizing the efforts that I've put in and that people have pointed out to me that I'm lucky. I'm lucky. Well, it's not just luck. It's like you said, it's a lot of all nighters. It's blood, sweat and tears. It's a lot of like money dropped into development. There is a strategy here. Even when it doesn't feel like a strategy, you're still working towards something. So it's not only that we're lucky or that it's a blessing, we've worked towards this. So that's why the people that are at the beginning are kind of like, no, like I need every client I can get. And that's fine. I think all of us have gone through that stage, right? Mm-hmm. But at some point you have to start planning for this stage where you can say, how can I improve my client experience? How can I improve my brand? How can I improve my services? And at the same time, not compromise my boundaries, my time, my life, my family, and like my livelihood, right? It's such a delicate balance. And I think that brand comes into that quite a lot.
It really does. And I think it's interesting too, to look at the marketplace now versus, so when I went out on my own, left full-time employment in 2011, you know, that was my season of hustling and taking every project that came my way. I mean, even some that I was like, oh, I should not have said yes to this. And I still have some of those. When I need a cash infusion in my business, I still say yes to some things that I don't particularly want to. But, you know, if the people are good, I am really willing to go the distance for them. But then sometimes you get into situations too, which is kind of a tangent. You get into situations where you find clients that you're like, I absolutely don't want to work with a person like that ever again. And you start to recognize the red flags. And that's also part of the learning process. But what I was saying though about like the marketplace now, it's interesting to see other entrepreneurs and see how they show up in their brands. And, you know, you kind of get a sense from whatever they're presenting on Instagram, on TikTok, on their websites, whatever. And you can start to build a story in your head about how this person started later than I did. And they seem like they have it all figured out. And it's possible they may have more figured out than you do. But also, you know, it's all of those experiences that you've had that have built to this moment that make you who you are and give you that edge that you have. You know, like that's part of you, your personality and your expertise and wisdom that you've gained over the years. And so it is a process to build the confidence to be compensated for that. And I know that I used to get really upset when somebody would be like, oh, well, I'm just going to do it in Canva. Okay. Like, cool. Or my brother's neighbor's kid can do this. They're in high school journalism. Okay, cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I used to really kind of go, well, why don't you want me? And again, just kind of realizing that those aren't the right people for me. They don't.
Yeah. It's not a you problem. Yeah. It's a them problem at that point. I've been through that too. And just to make a comment about how we have this tendency to compare ourselves, it is so easy on Instagram. Everything is so heavily curated and perfect and filtered and whatever else that I don't see how we couldn't do that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, it all depends on your journey. And that's why branding is so important, because it's about what did you go through that sets you apart? So who cares if the next person, you know, started a year after you and is at the same level? Who cares? There's enough to go around. And what you are looking for is that right person that wants your services, that you, where you can work in harmony, where there isn't going to be any conflict, because that is more important than having everybody knock at your door.
Right.
Right. Because could you handle everybody? Maybe, maybe not, you know, it's hard. And then your reputation suffers because of that. So I think it's it's definitely a perspective thing and a experience thing. Mm-hmm. So if something is out of my wheelhouse, I will 100% say, this isn't what I typically do. However, here are your options. And your options will include, I know somebody else who does this. Let me put you into contact with them, rather than race to be that person for them. And I used to have those thoughts too, mm-hmm. about like, oh, like, why wouldn't they want me? Mm-hmm. Right. But now I was even having a conversation this morning with somebody where I said, there are people who are aware of their problem aware and solution aware. Those are my people. We get those projects booked like this. We get it done. We get feedback. It's great. Next. And then they come back in a couple of months because they're doing something else. Then you get people that are problem aware, not solution aware. They tend to typically need a little bit more time. And I say that to them. I was like, look, I know you know that there's a problem here. Here's what the options that I'm offering you. Take some time, sit on it. If you want my recommendation, I would go with this. Then there are people who are not problem aware or solution aware. And those are the people who you could be talking to for hours. You could be offering them the moon and the stars, and they will still say no. And that's not a you problem. It's a them problem, because they don't realize what they're missing. And that's okay. I typically try to, you know, identify it right away to be like, look, you're still at this stage. Why don't we talk when you're at this stage? I would love to help you. I'm there for you. Ask me questions in the meantime. But I don't think this is going to work for you right now. Right? So once you have the ability to do that, it's like it all changes.
Absolutely. Right? It so does.
All of it changes it. It's for the better. It might not seem like it, but it's definitely for the better. I've definitely been there. I can resonate 100% with what you're saying.
Yeah. It is a journey for sure.
Yeah, totally. Just before we go on here, though, I'm just going to do a quick little intro for everybody that's just tuning in. You are listening to Negotiating Happiness, and I am your host, Adriana Fierastro, and we are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. And some of our shows are actually on Roku TV as well, if you guys wanted to kick back and watch some of our shows. I am here today with Shannon, and her and I are talking about branding, Enneagram types, personality, and the difference between having a brand and an authentic brand. So we were just talking about why branding is important, and what stage you're at is also important for your branding, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. So we touched a little bit on this, about how some people are just not ready, and that could be for many, many subjects. But let's talk about the limiting beliefs that come along with this, because I'd really like to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah. So through my own experience and also working with lots of other entrepreneurs, you know, where a lot of us get stuck is in four main limiting beliefs. So the first one is perfectionism, which I am so guilty of. Like, I used to tout perfectionism as a strength in job interviews. I'm like, I'm a perfectionist. Like, that was a
terrible thing. As well. I think they still teach us this. Isn't that wild?
It's crazy, because I feel like there's been like a cultural shift to like recognize that perfectionism is not always a like good thing, right? Like, it can be a very bad thing. But, you know, this can show up in all or nothing thinking, you know, where you're like, well, my brand is either going to look amazing, or I'm just not going to show up at all. Or you can look at all of the recommendations and best practices out there and start shoulding all over yourself. You know, I should do this, or I should do that, or I should show up here. And, you know, perfectionists really want to do things the right way. And so they can get really stuck in this, what should I be doing? And then feeling bad that you're not doing it. Right. And then also setting unrealistic standards for yourself and for other people. So, you know, a perfectionist is probably not getting a whole lot done because the standard, the bar has been set so high that you get into that all or nothing thinking, well, if I can't make it this good, then I'm just not going to do it at all. I'm so guilty.
Me too. But can I say something about perfectionism that I've noticed in the last little bit? Perfectionism assumes that there is a set of criteria to be met. And if you are a creative and you are a perfectionist, I would almost argue that you're missing new creative thinking when you try to be a perfectionist. Because if it's always the same criteria that you have to tick off, like boxes in a project, where's the newness of it all? Where's the creativity? Where's the, and even for me, I'm not in a creative business, but I am in the business of figuring out solutions. So am I going to be building the same workflow every time? Well, I'd like to, because I know that it works best. But if I'm going to stop for a minute and think about what works best for the client, or what works best for the program, or hey, let's try it this way, I would have never figured out different ways of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So I've had to stop myself a lot of the times to say that perfect is not better.
Yeah.
Right?
That's so true. And I think that some perfection can actually be good. I mean, you want good attention to detail. You want to like produce a good quality product. But at the same time, if you're letting it slow you down and keep you from showing up in your own brand, I mean, like I'm raising my hand here going, yep, I've done this because I wanted to perfect my color palette. Like, oh, that's not it, so I just won't post anything. Or, oh, that photo is not perfect, so I just won't post that. So that's been a real struggle to kind of get over that, but also accept that there are ways to just put things out there and be authentic and show the real you, because we're all getting a little tired of the perfect facade that we see. And, you know, the people who are being real and putting themselves out there. And I mean, you don't have to show up in your pajamas and your hair undone unless you really want to.
I have in meetings. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, if that's what you want to do, you totally can. But you also don't need to feel like, oh my gosh, my hair and makeup's not done today, I can't show up at all. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like a happy medium for your specific personality that you can find, and find what makes you feel good. And if it's one extreme or the other, great. But like limiting yourself because you feel like it has to be a certain way is just really doing yourself a disservice. And then you're not connecting with the clients that you could be helping. You're not making the extra money you could be making. You're really just holding yourself back. So,
And just to be clear, if you don't make money doing this, you don't get to help anybody because that means it's not working.
Yeah.
Right. So like it's way more than just about money or just about achieving the perfect thing. Right. It's about being the solution for that person or that business. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I enjoy is having the conversation after to be like, did this solve your problem? Like, I really hope this solved your problem. Right.
So, yeah. Well, and I think ditching the perfectionism is a really great example for the people we're trying to help, because, you know, so many of them are also probably struggling with the same thing, and showing that like you can still be out in the world helping people, living your dream, working in your dream business, and it doesn't have to be picture perfect. Like that's the goal, right?
Totally.
So another way that we kind of get held back as entrepreneurs is people pleasing. So when, you know, you're creating your brand and you're trying to like appeal to everybody, but you're actually not appealing to anybody because you've just kind of watered everything down. You don't want to alienate anybody, or maybe you aren't doing the things that light you up just because you don't want to say no and disappoint someone, and you're trying to keep the peace, but you're not actually at peace yourself. Like that people pleasing is a major drawback. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, you know, perfectionism and people pleasing can, you know, both of those go hand in hand. They can be tools that are being used to, you know, satisfy the other. Like, I'm people pleasing so I can make this perfect, or I'm trying to make this perfect so I can make somebody happy. And you know, you get into a dangerous territory there.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And then there's, imposter syndrome. So I, when I first learned about this phrase several years back, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think there's ever been a better term to describe how I feel. Like, despite having, you know, a master's degree, despite having years of experience, despite, you know, teaching design to college students at a major university, I had all these credentials, but I would still question, like, what are people thinking when I get up and speak? And so if you're feeling like you're not an expert and you need to be an expert before you do something, or if you say, who am I to do this? Well, who are you not to? There are right. people who are less qualified than you who are already out there doing the thing and making money at it. And that's a hard one to swallow because it's frustrating. You're like, and then you get back into the, I should be doing this, right? I right. should be farther along. And right. so it can be a really vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another, this is like I might get some hate for this, but I need to make this comment because it is true. We as female entrepreneurs have different needs and different struggles, but some of our male counterparts, the reason why they're so good in business is because they just dare. The mm-hmm. audacity is there. So then they just do it. And if they happen to be one of those people that are really good at what they say that they do, they don't have that blockage. They don't have that mm-hmm. limiting belief. So take yourself as somebody who is, you know, has gone through all of these changes, maybe multiple entrepreneur journeys, education, experience, you know, if you're sitting there questioning yourself, why are some of these other people that don't even have half the credentials that you do questioning themselves? And they're also mm-hmm. going out there and getting the job done and making money, mm-hmm. right? It's like you said, the next person to you might not be as qualified, but they're out there doing it because they dare to.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that we can learn from our male business counterparts is that just go and do it. Yeah. And you cannot be prepared enough for any of it. Mm-hmm. You can't convince me. I'm not talking about launching something properly. I'm talking about just go out there and do your thing.
Yeah.
Right? There's not a good enough time. And I always say this to myself, you know, remember, you always wished that you had started this sooner now that you're in it. Right?
Right.
But it was always like, but what am I going to do? But why would I be doing that? Am I good enough? Am I, you know, all of that needs to just disappear. Absolutely. And you need to just go do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of leading me into the last one, which is analysis paralysis. So
right.
that tendency to overthink everything and getting stuck in that.
I'm a chronic overthinker.
Okay, good. You're not alone. You're not alone. And another term that I learned in the last 6 months or so was procrastinating. And oh my gosh, like that describes me to a T, because it's like you're collecting all the research mm-hmm. and all the education mm-hmm. until you can take action. And that's okay. feeding into that imposter syndrome, because you say, I'm not an expert yet. I need to collect all of this knowledge before I can teach anybody else. And one of the things that working with a coach has really helped me with is trying to get out of my head and quit procrastinating and quit just collecting ideas without taking action. And just knowing that, like, you don't have to be at that top tier level. Like, you just have to know a little bit more than the people that you're trying to help. Yeah. It's so hard because I want to know all the things, yeah. but you know, it's an important lesson for entrepreneurs to learn.
But it's also safe. And I think that's why we tend to stick in that stage. It's kind of mm-hmm. like, I'm learning. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, kind of like with blinders on, being like, no, you're actually supposed to be doing it, right? Yeah. I am so bad for that. I created this idea of this, I guess, funnel, probably like in November. I had just started making changes to it after receiving feedback 2 days ago. It is March. Like, I was in that I'm working on it phase and learning yeah. how to do it better until, you know, I had some peers kind of look at me like, just post the damn thing, you know, yeah. like just post it. what else are you going to do? Like, just post it and you can make changes as it goes, mm-hmm. right? And there's always that, like, fear of, like, oh, no, what if some people think it's, you know, complete garbage?
Yeah.
Okay, then you're not limited. This is, like, the wonderful thing about having a digital presence is that you're not limited to a geographical area or to, like, this mm-hmm. bubble. The bubble is pretty large, right? Yeah. So just do it.
Just do it. I think that's a great point because, you know, we talk about taking action and taking messy, imperfect action to try to push through a lot of these limiting beliefs. And that is important. But if you find yourself, like both of us, it sounds like, where you're taking action, but you're not actually finishing the thing, you know, what are you really even doing? And so I feel like, you know, we can break things down into smaller pieces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what can we put together that's maybe, is it a mini course? Is it a, you know, ebook? Is it a, I don't know, like something small that can get done in a shorter amount of time without trying to build the entire thing?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you think about the house building analogy too, like, okay, you're building this, but it's not getting built overnight, you know? No. So, you know, your first lay in the foundation. So like, could some of these things be at a foundation ground level stage? And then you're working up to, you know, the second floor master suite, right? So, I mean, it's just a hard battle for everybody who struggles with these limiting beliefs that are just so hard to shake sometimes.
And they do tend to come back. It's mm-hmm. not like once you get over it, they don't come. They do. Yeah. They do tend to come back and you just kind of have to deal with them as they go. And this is why I always say business is not static. It's always fluctuating, changing up and down. Growth is not linear, right? Mm-hmm. It could look like very many different things. And we've talked about failure before and how that actually can help you grow at probably an exponential rate if you just think about it, if you do the proper analysis, if you learn from it, if you implement it, take action, right? So it doesn't just go away, because while you're doing all of those things, you're gaining more, right? Mm-hmm. You're gaining more experience, you know, more knowledge, and it'll keep coming back. So if you don't have the right tools to deal with it, mm-hmm. it's definitely difficult. So I totally appreciate your stance on this. So I guess where I'm taking out of it mm-hmm. is, you know, stop trying to worry about everybody else. Just put your brand out there.
Yeah. And really just quit looking at what everybody else is doing. You know, you're not farther behind than you should be. You're exactly where you should be. And that's a little, you know, dose of my own medicine that I have to swallow, that like, sometimes I feel like, oh, I've wasted all this time. No, I'm right where I should be. And, you know, I'm excited about doing new things and the wisdom and the growth that has come over the years to allow me to do that.
Yeah.
And I think also building a community, you know, to just getting to know other entrepreneurs, whether I've met them in person or we've never met, you know, and we're just online, like, it's so nice to know that you have friends that you can call on and they can share their experiences. You know, it's hard to build that. But once you have it, it's like, how did I survive for so long without these friends in business who really get me?
Yeah. And honestly, it's such an important resource to have, a place where you can ask those questions and not feel like you're the only one, or you not feel like you're imposing. I hate feeling like I'm imposing. And sometimes online, that is exactly what you're doing. Or if you're asking in a public forum, if you're leaving a question on somebody's, you know, post, like, it could go both ways. I'll tell you this, because I used to have a lot of beginner VAs message me, and they always wanted to just pick my brain. And at the beginning, mm-hmm. I would offer up my time, no problem. Like, I never charged or anything like that. I would just be like, yeah, sure, let's meet up, because I never wanted to gatekeep. And then it got to the point where people have like really incredible expectations from somebody else's time, because they're not at the point where they understand time is finite, and also, you know, nobody owes you their time. So there's like a fine line with that. So that's why I love you know, networking opportunities, like coaching groups and things that help you invest back in there, because it is a give and take, right? Like, you're not just asking questions, you're also providing valuable information when it's your turn, right? So there is a time and space for that. And there is, I still reach out to people on Instagram and I ask them to be like, hey, do you want to like do a virtual chat or whatever else? And most people are very open to that. And there is the odd person who will literally say, no, I don't do that. Okay, that's cool. You do you. I'm never going to learn about your business because you're not giving me the time that I was going to give you as well. So it's very important to find your people. Maybe if it was somebody else, like, because I know you, I know those are not your people because they're not my people either, right?
Right.
But other people might be fine with that and might be fine with just operating in isolation. But I will tell you, it is very lonely no matter how many, you know, good friends and family you have. And my friends and family have definitely supported me on my entrepreneurship journey, and I could not be more grateful. But they don't understand at the level that, let's say, you and I understand, because they've never had to be in that place, right?
Yeah. And
they know that. They're smart people. They know that. So I 100% agree. It is so important to have those people around you, and it is your responsibility to make sure that you're in those environments, right?
I think that's what's made all the difference for me. Once I started working with a coach and started kind of collaborating in online spaces with fellow entrepreneurs, I started to really move the needle forward instead of just feeling so stagnant and stuck and frustrated that I wasn't where I wanted to be. You know, it provided a sense of reassurance, but also some tough love. Like, hey, you know, here's why you're not there. You gonna do something about that, or are you gonna just sit there and be sad?
Yes. I love the affectionate yelling that you get from people. I am very familiar with it as well, and I'm grateful to those people. Well, we have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to ask you, what makes it worth it for you, Shannon? Like, all of this, like, we've already established business is not easy, but it's also very rewarding in many ways. What makes it worth it from the individual point of view? I'm not talking about, you know, helping people or having a flexible schedule, but what do you do that just kind of gets you all excited and fired up for life?
That's a really great question. You know, for me, like, there is that thrill of like having somebody come back and say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know, it's the gratitude that comes back, but also it's just knowing the complete time freedom that I have as a business owner, and knowing that if I have a sick kid or we're traveling on vacation or something, I can either choose to still work on my work or I can choose to disconnect entirely. And I think that's really what kind of, I don't know, it's the icing on the cake. I mean, I love working with my clients. I love meeting new people and, you know, helping them solve their problems and create their beautiful brands, whether it's through photo sessions or design or, you know, teaching. But at the same time, it's just kind of this like big ball of yumminess, I guess, that like everything just seems to kind of work out together. And it's not an experience I could have if I was working as an employee for somebody else, you know.
But also you mentioned you like to go on vacations. Is there anywhere in particular you like to travel?
Oh my gosh, anywhere warm usually is the answer. Beach.
Wait, tell everybody where you are first. I forgot to ask you that at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm in Kansas, which has actually been very nice here lately, but I'm always down for a beach, but we also love the mountains. We're getting ready to go ski later this week in Colorado. Take our kids. I mean, that's just the joy of doing what I do. It's like
the freedom.
The freedom, and my kids can see that, like, you know, mom needs to work sometimes, but also like she's here for us when we need her. So,
but also how cool is it for your kids to look at both of their parents and to say, mom totally did her thing. Dad totally did his thing. And then we were together and we did our thing together as well.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that my mom had like a part-time like business. because I was like, oh, look at my mom. My mom was going to work. Like, don't get me wrong. My mom had a lot to do. Now looking back at it as an adult, I'm just like, oh my God, mom.
Right.
But she, you know, she would go to work, but also have a part-time business. I thought mm-hmm. that was really cool. And my dad, he always figured it out with work. He just mm-hmm. figured it out. We had what we needed, but that came with a lot of sacrifices, obviously. Mm-hmm. But how cool is it that our kids are going to say they did their thing. They just wanted to, yeah. and they went for it and did it.
And I think you hit on something really important there. Like, they figured it out. Like, yeah. they figured it out. It's not that they were beholden to anyone in particular. They just figured it out. And so I think that's what's so powerful about, like, this world that we live in now, is that we have the opportunity to figure it out and make a better career for ourselves, a better lifestyle for our families, like, just more joy and purpose in our lives. Like, how great is that? It's awesome.
Yeah, that's basically, I love ending the show on such a positive note, because as you know, we've touched on the struggles. This is why we do it. We do it because mm-hmm. we want that freedom. And I don't want people to get discouraged and not do it because mm-hmm. it's hard. Guess what? Going to work for somebody else is hard too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least this way, if I'm fighting with anybody, I'm fighting with myself. You know?
Yeah. It's that thing, like, choose your hard, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. What a great mm-hmm. phrase. Choose your hard.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Shannon. I had such a great time.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on. This was great.
Yeah. And if you guys are just tuning in or tune in only for a little bit, you guys can find the episode on all of our archives anywhere you can think of. YouTube, Facebook, SoundCloud, iTunes, you know, iHeartRadio. It's all going to be there. And I think, Shannon, I'm proposing that you have to come back.
I'd love that.
In the summer, or you have to tell us a little bit more about your upcoming projects. And I also wanted to remind everybody, if you are looking to do the Brand Breakthrough Bootcamp, you can get $100 off Shannon's program when you subscribe at heyshannonk.com/happiness. I'm going to actually pop that into the chat right now before we go off, and just so that everybody has it, here's where you can connect, because I don't want you guys to miss out on this, especially if you are looking to do some development around your branding. And also, as you can see, Shannon is lovely to work with, so go ahead, everybody. I just popped it into all of our awesome. Locations here. And thank you again for coming on. Come back again. Thank you to everybody that is listening. And also thank you to the platform, the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, for giving us this time and space to make this happen. And we will see you guys next week.